Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Seven things that bring increase. How many of you want to see increase this year? Are you sure? Maybe I need to try it one more time. How many of you want to see increase this year? Increase in your finances? All right. Somebody said, well, look at all that's happening in the world. Well, we're not part of the world. Amen. We're in the world, but not of it. We're in the kingdom. And there are kingdom principles that if we take and apply them, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's going to work. God's word works. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's word will work for you if you will do it. Praise God. The first thing to do, number one, seven things that bring increase. Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth of God's word. Not just reading and confessing prosperity scriptures, but having a lifestyle of living in obedience to the word of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Reading from verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we have to understand, we have to separate ourselves from the way that the world does things. We have to do things differently. We are Christians. We are believers. We are to live according to God's word. Amen? And then when we walk according to God's word, walk in the truth, then God, the Father, will take care of us. Amen? Now go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, which is really the following verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it's going to be our responsibility to walk in a lifestyle that's clean and pure, because one thing you need to understand is that money takes on the character of whoever has it. Money in itself is not evil. Don't believe the lie that money is evil. It's the love of money that's evil. That's the root of all evil. If you love money, if all you do is pursue money, but if you're pursuing God, then money becomes a tool for you to do what God's called you to do, and for you to build the kingdom, for you to advance the kingdom, for you to be a blessing. God will bless you to be a blessing. Amen. So if your heart is pure, the Bible says to those whose heart is pure, all things are pure. So when you have pure motives in your heart concerning to truly prosper for kingdom's sake, that's nothing wrong with that. Because the message on prosperity is under attack. It's under attack because the devil doesn't want the church to prosper. The devil wants the world to have all the money and the church to be poor and do nothing. Amen. And wants to put us in our little religious corner. We're not going into our little religious timeout corner. Amen. We're not in timeout. Hallelujah. We're not going to our little religious corner. We're coming out. We're gonna shout it from the rooftops. We're gonna shout it on the street corners. We're gonna go out to the highways and the byways, and we're gonna advance the kingdom of God. And as Jesus said, we're gonna occupy till he comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God says the silver is mine, the gold is mine. It's not here for the devil, it's here for his purposes. It's just in the wrong hands. Much of it is in the wrong hands, but guess what? My Bible also tells me that in the last days, there's going to be a wealth transfer, that the wealth of the wicked is laid out for the righteous. And when the righteous get a hold of the things of God and heavenly vision, then the provision will come. Provision will come. Amen. Second thing you need to know about, seven things that bring increase, is faithfulness. to be faithful to continue meditating on God's promises and obeying them. I call this having a stick-to-itiveness. Stick to it. Stick to it. Faithfulness is not something that happens overnight. It's something that's proven over a period of time. And God is testing you to see if you'll be faithful. That means you got to stick to it. When God gives you a word, you got to stick to that word. You got to grab a hold of that word and not let it go. Can you say amen? Because guess what? It'll be tested. Hallelujah. So faithfulness is defined as firmly adhering to truth and duty, true allegiance and loyalty, constant in performance, exact and consistent. Be consistent. Be consistent. Amen. Be consistent. Don't be up and down like a yo-yo. Be consistent. Stick to it. Be faithful with God's word. Be faithful with what he has placed in your hands. Amen. And when it's tested, and it will be, when you're tested, and you will be, you stick to it. You say, bless God. I'm taking a hold of God's word, and I'm not going to let it go. It's going to work for me. It's going to work for me. Hallelujah. Work the word and let the word work for you. The third thing you need to know about the seven things that bring increase is diligence. Diligently seeking God and diligently working on your calling. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Or you can say all the peoples of the earth. Amen. You know why? Because of your covenant. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many of you are ready for all of God's blessings to come upon you and to overtake you? Hallelujah. To come upon you and to overtake you. If you diligently, so there has to be a diligence. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Well, what does that mean? Well, God's word is God's voice to you. 80 to 90% of what you need to know is already written. Right? That's why Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. When he was tested, it is written, it is written, it is written. You need to know the word. You need to know, you need to be diligent. Amen. You need to study the word of God, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is diligent, a workman that is faithful, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So be diligent in God's word. Diligently do it. Not half-heartedly. I've just seen a lot of Christians are very half-hearted, unfortunately. They try it for a little bit and they're like, I don't know. You know, you gotta be diligent. You gotta stick to it. You gotta be diligent with the word. You gotta make the word work for you. Amen. And when the word is tested, you got to say, it is written. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what I'm facing right now. I don't care what the devil's saying right now. It is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. And then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Hallelujah. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. God's going to reward your faith. God's going to reward your diligence. Hallelujah. There are rewards waiting the diligent believer. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Be diligent. Put your hand to something. Get moving. Get moving. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. Start where you're at. Be diligent with where you're at. And God's going to promote you. God's going to bless you. God's going to reward you when you're diligent. He will see your diligence and he will reward you. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody here today? Is this encouraging anybody here today? And again, of course, that's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Look at your hands and say, I'm going to put my hands to what God has for me, and I'm going to be diligent with it. I'm going to be faithful with it, and God's going to reward me, and there shall be increase in my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So walking in the truth, faithfulness, diligence. The fourth thing that brings increase is tithing. Tithing is a covenant transaction that gets God involved in your life. 10% of your income, but it requires 100% of your heart. How many of you realize that? It's a covenant transaction. It is there to honor God. It is there to honor the blessing of the Lord. And the Word of God promises that when you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in God's house, which is talking about the local church now in this case, that what will he do? He will open the floodgates of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Amen. How many of you like having blessings poured out upon you that you don't have room enough to receive? I want everyone in this church to live under an open heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to live under an open heaven. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, there's going to be, people are all into all these opening portals and stuff. Technically speaking, if you want to open portal, tithing opens the portal of blessing. But let me tell you right now, hallelujah. When Jesus came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says the heavens opened. When he came up out of the water, the Father spoke out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and the Holy Ghost came. The heavens have been opened, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. You are living under an open heaven. Amen. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What you need to do is appropriate the spiritual blessings and turn them into natural blessings in your life. Amen. Because you realize that everything begins in the realm of the spirit, but then it manifests in the realm of the natural. So you have all these spiritual blessings. Here's what people don't understand. They go, well, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Well, try to take a spiritual blessing to pay your rent. Here's some spiritual blessing. Try to go buy a car with spiritual blessing. Try to go buy a house with spiritual blessing. Try to take care of the needs and try to plan big things for the ministry and big vision, finance it with a spiritual blessing. You have to take the spiritual blessing and you got to convert it. You got to convert it. Hallelujah. And I like the exchange rate, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I like that kind of exchange rate. I like that kind of an exchange rate when you got 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Well, what's the exchange rate? I don't know. What do you want it to be? Jesus said, as you measure, it's measured back to you. So I want to go for 100-fold. I like that kind of an exchange rate. Amen. I know Americans are not really used to that exchange rate stuff, but some of you come from other nations. You know what I'm talking about? I've traveled a lot. Every country I went to, the first question I asked, what's the exchange rate to the dollar? They said, hey, you got a bag of offerings. What's the exchange rate? It's a bag of offerings, but it was like $23, you know. What's the exchange rate, you know? And they're always changing. In Turkey, I mean, you got to watch the exchange rate every day. I mean, people, they got the exchange rates on big LED walls all over the city and everywhere. I mean, everybody follows the exchange rate to the dollar and to the euro and to the pound, you know. They're like, everybody makes decisions based on the exchange rate. Well, guess what? If you're going to make decisions, make the decisions based on the exchange rate of your faith. Make decisions based on 30, 60, and 100-fold. Press into the things of God to see increase. Hallelujah. Amen. I got two amens on that one. Hallelujah. Appropriate what belongs to you as a child of God. Jesus promised supernatural increase in your life, but you got to apply your faith because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who are in faith. Hallelujah. So you got to take those spiritual blessings and convert them into the actual things that need to manifest in your life for you to walk in the fullness of provision and abundance and overflow. Amen. Hallelujah. The fourth was the tithing. It goes to your local church where you are fed. It doesn't go to your favorite TV preacher. It doesn't go, that means you need to be in a local church, obviously be fed there, connected to the local body. It doesn't go to the Cat and Dog Foundation. Save the manatees. Okay, it's got to go. You'd be surprised of all the things I've heard over the years. Pastor, I sent my tithe to the Cancer Foundation. I sent my tithe to my favorite candidate running for office. Your tithe doesn't go to that. Your tithe has to go and empower the kingdom of God, God's work. Okay. The fifth is sowing after you tithe. Now the heavens are open, the blessing has been released. You sow according to what the Lord lays on your heart. This is where the real increase comes. The tithe guarantees the blessing, but sowing brings the increase. The seed is what's multiplied to bring in the harvest. Amen. You sow with a glad heart, you sow with a cheerful heart, you sow with the right attitude. Amen. And the Hebrew word for offering means to draw near. Think about this. And what does James say? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's why when you look throughout the Bible, people, when they came to God, they never came empty-handed. Even with King David, remember, a guy wanted to give him a field for free. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. I'm not going to give to the Lord anything that did not cost me. I don't want freebies. I want to really pay the price. I really want to press in. I really want to honor God in my giving. So never come to God empty-handed. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Is this helping anybody here today? Some of you are like, I've heard this before. Well, you need to hear it again. You've heard it 10 times, but you haven't done anything with it. And the pastor smiles. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let's read that in the Amplified. Remember this. See, that's why I have to remind you. Somebody said you have to hear something 11 times to get it. With some Christians, I don't know, maybe 22 times. I don't know. Done this a while now. Hey, this is the year of double will be the least. Turn to your neighbor, go double, double. You got to slap high fives, go double, double with your neighbor. That's become like our secret handshake here, double, double. It's like the river greeting now, double, double. I've seen people doing it, double, double. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So that's about attitude. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. So the attitude and the amount and the action is important. And of course, Galatians 6:7. Let's go to Galatians 6:7. Read this in the Amplified. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. So that's what actually happens. When you look at God's word and go, you know what? No, but. Then you're actually putting yourself in a position where you're putting God's precepts aside. Amen. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. Basically, you come under self-deception when you believe that I'm going to do it my way, not God's way, but it's going to work for me. That's deception. It's not going to work. How many of you have proof of that? You've done it your way, you thought it was going to work, and it didn't work. Hello. Okay. For whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. So it's the principle of sowing and reaping. Anything can be seed. I mean, we know tomato seeds can be tomato seeds, and you get tomatoes and cucumber seeds, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But then, love is a seed. If you sow love, you're going to get love back. If you sow mercy, you're going to get mercy back. If you sow blessings, you're going to get blessings back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you sow offense and hatred and criticism, guess what's going to come back to you? So you got to make sure that it works for you. Because it's going to work for you in the good or the bad. It's going to work for you whether you like it or not, whether you believe. I don't believe that. It's going to work because it's the law of seed time and harvest time. God has put that into place. And even God himself is bound by his own law. That's why he had to sow Jesus as a seed, right? So that he could get the harvest of souls in the nations, right? That's why Jesus said, unless a grain of seed falls in the ground and dies, it will not produce forth a harvest. That's why he had to be sown as a seed. The Father so loved the world that he sowed his son as a seed. So love is the motive and sowing is the action. And when those two are combined together, and remember, faith works by love. So when you're in faith and you're sowing in love, there's going to be a harvest of blessing that's going to come to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. And all these blessings are going to chase you. You won't be chasing blessings. Blessings are going to chase you. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. They're going to run faster. And they're going to get there before you arrive. That's what it means to overtake. Hallelujah. Blessing will already be there before you get there. And God would have already prepared a way table for you. God would have already made a way for you. Hallelujah. God has already opened the door for you. And you step right through it. And there it is right there. He's gone ahead of you. He's gone ahead of you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So to be a receiver, you have to be a giver. To have a harvest, you have to sow. And now what do you do after you sow? It's very important that you stay in faith, believing. Believing, it has to be a lifestyle. Faith is not something you do once. Faith is a lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. And there's multiple scriptures on that. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Amen. And then Galatians 3:9 says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The blessing of Abraham will come upon you. Why? Because of being in faith. So you got to stay in faith. What does that mean? Because the enemy will try to come put doubts. He'll come to put fear. He'll come to get you into worry and anxiety. I preached a message on Thursday night. If you didn't hear it, if you were not, you need to go listen to that, because this last week was all about being clothed with power from on high. Being endued with power from on high. And that same word, to be endued, to be clothed. Hallelujah. You see that word 28 times in the New Testament, and many times it's about putting on Christ, putting on the new man. But then also in that chapter, Matthew 6, when Jesus talks about, do not worry about what you will put on, what you will be clothed with. See, everybody's worried about the natural clothing, but when you have supernatural clothing, which is the power from on high, you've already been clothing. You've already been clothed with God's glory and power. Why do you even worry about the natural? And what the enemy will try to do is he'll try to draw your attention to the natural, and then you're no longer walking in the supernatural. To walk in the supernatural, you've got to put your eyes on the things of the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit to walk in the supernatural. You are a child of God. You are a supernatural being. If you're born again, come on, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not just a natural being. You're a supernatural being. You have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You might look like a human being on the outside. Amen. You might look like mankind on the outside, but let me tell you, you are God kind. You are God kind of person. You have the God kind of life. You have the God kind of nature. You have the divine nature. Hallelujah. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God on the inside of you. Rivers are flowing out of your belly. You have an anointing from the Holy One. The anointing abides in you. You know all things. Hallelujah. You have supernatural abilities that come by the Spirit of God. So walk as a supernatural being. And don't allow the enemy to get you focused on the natural, which will get you into a place of worry and lack. But diligently seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So you got to stay in faith. And if you doubt, you're going to end up digging up your seed. How many of you, God spoke to you about sowing a radical seed? You sowed the seed because, man, the power of God was on you. You were all under the anointing. You're like, yes, I'm going to do it. You ran up, you sowed the seed. And then when you walked out, you got a phone call, you got an email, you got this. You went home. You went to work the next day. You went to your business the next day. And then, I mean, all kinds of stuff began to happen. And then the enemy comes in, what have you done? How are you gonna make it now? You gave all your money away. See, and then you go, oh man, what? And then you go, let me call the church back, see if I can get a refund. Again, I've done this a while now. I'm telling you all real life scenarios. Pastor, I don't know what happened to me yesterday. I know exactly what happened to you yesterday. You heard from God. The Holy Ghost came on you and you obeyed. And now you're in doubt. Now you're doubting. You're digging up your seed. Don't dig up your seed. Leave the seed in the ground. Die to the seed. And then watch and see how God will supernaturally multiply it. And then a harvest of blessing will come upon your life. Pressed down, shaken together, running from the north, the south, east, and the west. It's going to rain on you. Floodgates are going to open up from underneath the earth, above the earth. There's going to be a flood of blessing in your life. Stay in faith, believing. Faith is your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Everybody's talking about lifestyles. Alternative lifestyles. We got a lifestyle. It's called the life of faith. We live the life of faith. That's our lifestyle. For the believer, for the child of God, faith is our lifestyle. Can you say amen? And the final thing, number seven, saying, speaking, right? Number one, walking in the truth. Number two, faithfulness. Number three, diligence. Number four, tithing. Number five, sowing. Number six, believing, faith. And then, of course, not just believing in your heart, but then speaking faith, saying the faith that must be spoken. Faith that's just not of the heart, but faith that's of the heart, then also spoken. Faith must be in two places. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith must be in two places. In your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. Romans 10:8. The word of God is near you. It's what? In your heart and in your mouth. You have to confess. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes with doubts, you got to speak. You got to speak and you got to pull out the sword of the Spirit and chop down those lies of the enemy by speaking God's word. Hallelujah. Bible says Jesus was anointed without measure because he spoke the word of God. Imagine how your life will be if you only 100% of the time spoke the word of God. Woo! Imagine what your life will be like if all you did 100% of the time speak the word of God. People are repenting already. They're calling for a crop failure and all the things they've said. Oh God, Father, forgive me. I said that. Oh my God, please forgive me. Please, Lord, can I dig up that seed? Because I don't want that one to produce harvest because I've been speaking so much rubbish. And oh, please, Lord. Come on. Some of you are thinking of a few things you've been saying lately and thinking lately, and you're like, oh, okay, Lord, I repent from that right now, and I call a crop failure on that seed. I call for a crop failure on that seed right now. That's one seed I don't mind digging up. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help you here today. This is very practical. It's very practical. How many of you realize that you've spoken some things you wish like you could take it back? Come on. We have a saying in Turkish, you can't lick your own spit. It's a Turkish proverb, but I think there's something in the book of Proverbs similar to it, you know. Hallelujah. Come on, deal with that right now. I really feel like we want to take a few minutes. Some of y'all need to call back some words you've spoken. Say, Lord, I repent. I bring that under the blood of Jesus and let the blood of Jesus wipe the power of those words away, right? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I'm calling back those words now spoken. Forgive me, Lord, that I've spoken in doubt and unbelief. Forgive me, Lord, I've spoken against your word. Come on, somebody. All right. And now what do you got to do? You got to replace it by speaking the word of God. Speaking in faith. Speaking victory. Speaking provision. Speaking overflow. Speaking healing and health and strength over your life. Amen. Don't walk around saying, I'm sick. I'm so depressed. I'm so weak. They become self-fulfilling prophecies. You have to understand your words have power. What you say against people, what you say over your life, what you say about your husband, wife, or your children. Come on, somebody, speak life, release life over them. Come on, speak and release life. Speak and release life. Hallelujah. Speak and release life. Come on, take a few minutes right now. Just speak and release some life over yourself and over your family. Come on, speak some life over them right now. Hallelujah. Bless them. Speak life. Speak health, healing. Speak peace and joy over them. In the name of Jesus, speak it. Speak it over your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, speak it. We got to apply this word. I don't want to just teach it and not demonstrate it. We got to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your words are life. Your words are life. Hallelujah. When we speak your word, it releases life. Hallelujah. 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 We're releasing life today, healing and health today. Thank you, Lord. 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 As it says in the book of Proverbs, your words are life, health and healing to our bones if we meditate on them day and night. It's health and healing and strength to our bones. Hallelujah. To our bodies. Thank you, Lord. We are strong in the Lord and the power of His. Come on, say this after them. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. In all these things, I will overcome. I am blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. Everything I put my hand to prospers. My enemies that come against me are defeated before me, and they shall flee from me in seven ways. I shall have complete victory, and the enemy shall be utterly defeated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And those are just a few examples. You got over 3,000 promises that you can claim and speak. Speak them. Release them. Release the power of the word. I don't like where I'm at. Change it. Because where you're at right now is a result of the seeds of the past. But good news, if you change the seed, you'll change the harvest. I don't like the harvest. Change the seed. Change the seed. Amen. Mark 11, 23. Come on, Jesus said, have faith in God. And he said, if you shall speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And if you shall say it, believing in your heart, not doubting it, you shall have what you say. Three times Jesus said, say. One time he said, believe. There's a lot of people who believe, but they never speak. Be bold in speaking the word of God. Be bold in speaking the word of God. Because you shall have what you say. Amen. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 in closing. Bible talks about having the spirit of faith. So you're either going to have a spirit of fear or you're going to have a spirit of faith. Which one do you prefer? I pose the question. Spirit of fear or spirit of faith? What's your preference? Faith. How do you have spirit of faith? Bible says we believe God's word, therefore we speak God's word. Therefore having the same spirit of faith. So spirit of faith is believing and speaking God's word. Because God's word is the word of faith. It's the seed of faith. Seed of faith. Peter said, you've been born again of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. So every time you speak God's word, you're seeding your future. You're preparing the harvest of your future when you speak God's word. And these are the seven things that bring increase. I guarantee you. I Bible guarantee you. Because some say, how do you guarantee? Because the Bible guarantees. I Bible guarantee you. I Bible guarantee you. I Bible guarantee you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That if you will do these seven things this year, you will have increase. God's not a man that he should lie, neither is it a son of man that he should repent. His word works. You do these seven this year. Man, I had a rough 2023, Pastor. Guess what? You're going to have a great 2024. Double will be the least of the increase in your life this year. Double will be the least. Because I'm giving you the seven things you need to do to see increase in your life. You will have increase. You will, because God does not lie. And God is no respecter of persons. If you take this at face value, say, this is mine, I'm gonna do this, you will have increase. I guarantee you increase in 2024. 2024 will be the year of more. 2024 will be the year of more.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.